Well, good afternoon, everyone. This is Keith Rogers sitting in for James Fetzer here at Authentic News. I have a few clips for you today here and a little bit of news. I'm so tired of the news anymore, but it's always the same thing. Like I've said before, go to Ann Murray's A Little Good News. It's the same thing since the 1980s. You know, it's Lebanon, Israel, you know, just the same thing over and over again. But anyway, welcome to the show today. I wanted to remind you here that the RBN is still in a fundraiser mode here. So it's the RBN's New Year's Rebel Mad Man Rebel Razor. Rebel Razor. And, of course, if you want to help support that, you can call 1-800-724-2719 and leave a gift of $250 or more. The lucky winner gets a Rebel Razor. Will receive a package gift containing a Confederate battle flag quilt. I noticed on the website it has a cute dog on there, but I don't think the dog comes with it. I'm sorry about that. And it also has a RBN mug, a T-shirt, business cards, and bumper stickers. And the winner will be determined at the end of February 2024, if we make it to that period of time. Anyway, I've been watching the news here, and of course, it's the same thing. It's most people don't understand that it's like listening to Anthony Blinken. Blinken gets out there and he says that 90% of the money that goes to the Ukraine actually stays in America to create jobs. So basically, the United States government is subsidizing the arms industry, in which Blinken can brag about. Well, it creates American jobs. So they can take part in the slaughter of whether it's Ukrainians or Russians or Hezbollah, Hamas, Iran, Syrians, you know. And that's your patriotic duty, I guess. But it never ends. And, of course, when I had my show here on Perception Management here on RBN, I had interviewed Colonel Lawrence Wilkerson. He has a good video out there, is entitled America Exists Today to Make War. And we see that now because Wilkerson at the time had highlighted the fact that when they took out Soleimani, Lieutenant General Soleimani over from Iran, who was in Iraq at the time fighting ISIS. And we have all the news articles that ISIS was good for Israel and blah, 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 blah. We even have this one senator that said that we should be arming ISIS, you know. And, of course, they were, because you can see the photos from Business Insider and stuff where the ISIS had U.S. TOW missiles and infrared imaging glasses and stuff like, you know, I'm not into military stuff, but anyway. But and ISIS being dropped in Ukraine, as well as other paramilitary forces, courtesy of the CIA. But war, that's it. And the more war they create, the better it looks for the U.S. economy. And it's sad, though, because if that's your only U.S. economy, until you get to the arms sales, because in comes the strings, as was noted down there in the Philippines, that the Philippines was going to buy Russian-made arms, and they couldn't get the loan. And they were being forced to buy U.S. arms, and the strings, of course, came with genetically modified grain, and that's how the U.S. does its corporate business there. And you should always remember the United States is a federal corporation. Anyway, so the United States right now is urgently it's transferring more air defense missiles over to Ukraine and evacuates the wounded. It was a good article on that. It showed all the wounded being taken out. This is after a massive Russian airstrike over there. The Telegram channels write about this with reference to the data from the navigation portal, the Flight Radar 22, which shows all the air traffic and various own sources that they have from the Russian Federation there. And according to that data, an American military transport, a C-130 Hercules, was approaching a Polish airfield. And I can't even name that name, so I'm not going to omit it there. But And from Kharkiv and Odessa, the NATO troops injured today in Ukraine are being actively transported to Romania hospitals to a subsequent evacuation. The following figures are given. It was 27 Poles, 3 British, 9 Czechs, 12 Lithuanians. In addition, tomorrow a separate aircraft will pick up the bodies of another 21 NATO officers who died. And again, I believe this has to do with that hotel that was struck over there. And Russia had been watching that hotel for a while because there had been quite a bit of activity. And this is all explained on Telegram. And it was only when they found out that the hotel itself was mostly vacant of any civilians that they finally decided to do a strike. Now, this had been repeated. This hotel had been used over and over. But it was because it was filling up with all these so-called Western military attachés that Russia finally decided to go for it like that. And it's no different than what the United States would have done, or Israel, matter of fact. And same thing with their so-called double taps, where they take out a target and then they target the rescue teams and or family relatives that come in and help. And they target them, and they even target funerals. They even target weddings. But whenever you're, as an American, whenever you hear the news, you're always pointed towards how bad Russia is, how bad Iran is, you know. But when it's a Western ally, it's, oh, you know, we're just so great. And I do have an article to read here later on about that. But it's been noted here from the Telegram channels that Russia is getting a lot of its targeting intel from Ukrainians who want the war to end. Even though they know the hardships that will happen as Russia right now is taking out more infrastructure like power stations and so. But, you know, that's the point of it. It's what they call it, denial of services. And that's common in any war. The United States did it over in Iraq. I'm just going to open up this thing here because I'm running a little bit behind. But where they take out dams, bridges, everything, except they get into the war crimes. And this is where we look at the fact of what Julian Assange was doing. It came out with the collateral murder video. And well, that exposed that, and then we had all those embedded journalists. Well, they basically, the embedded journalists were safe, and I've got videos on that where you have the State Department, all that stuff talking back and forth. But it was the non-embedded journalists that were targeted. And on your own, when you get time, look up how many journalists died in the Iraq War. That'll blow your mind. So when you hear that Israel is targeting journalists and stuff, it's up over 100 now, I think, on the count. 130-some-odd UN workers. Anyone that can be left to expose something for maybe possible later litigation. We know that Africa right now is really pressuring this International Criminal Justice Court to go after Israel for its war crimes. And who else would know that than the Africans with apartheid and such. But anyway, starting on 92 there, this is from Ramsey Clark, and he was a good lawyer there, and he was always on the ground over there in Iraq, and this is during the adventures of Bush Sr., Mr. CIA. I just want to read a couple things here. It says, in June of 1992, more than a year after Iraq was driven from Kuwait, with sanctions still in place, the United States burned grain and wheat fields with incendiary bombs near Mosul. And I encourage you to look up images of Mosul today. Looks like Dresden. U.S. bombing hit 28 civilian hospitals, 52 community health centers. The Zubar Hospital in Basra province totally collapsed from bombing. Another one of these, this Rashid Mental Hospital was destroyed. Southeast of Baghdad, ceilings collapsed onto patients' beds. This goes on and on. And, of course, Allied bombings, they damaged 676 schools, 38 of which were totally destroyed. Eight of those were hit were parts of universities, nor were mosques or other religious buildings or historic sites immune from U.S. attacks, though the Pentagon insisted that they were not targeted. Iraq reported that 25 mosques in Baghdad alone were hit, and 31 more of those reported damaged around the country during the first week of February. And this is he, Ramsey Clark, saying, Ramsey Clark, keep getting Wesley Clark mixed up. But anyway, as Ramsey Clark said, that I saw two mosques in Basra that were totally destroyed, six badly damaged, and three damaged Christian churches. The 900-year-old Church of St. Thomas in Mosul. And again, here, like Gaza, you see the Christians that are coexisting with the Muslim world and everything like that. It's no different. But this is 1,000 miles from Kuwait, which was attacked. And this is the same thing over and over. And then, of course, the bombers hit the civilian government office buildings in Baghdad, including the Ba'ath Party headquarters. And on lieu of that, there's a video called Psychiatry in the Military, The Hidden Agenda, there on YouTube. And if you watch it, it starts off with this pharmaceutical thing of the Soviets, the Germans, the Americans, and probably British, that we're trying to build the ultimate soldier. And do that this to the use of all these narcotics and stuff to... and we've seen that. I can never think of that name. It starts with a C there. It's Capsin or something like that. But anyway, that's used well among ISIS and others. And they're trying to say that Syria is behind this massive drug trade and stuff, which I don't believe. It's the only way to funnel their money and stuff like that, but it doesn't sound right. But I do know that Syria had confiscated what looked like probably a 15-ton truck or something like that, that was loaded with those same pills that these ISIS fighters were known to be using. And the pills are all made in France, but that part of that coalition type stuff, you know. But and we see this at like the video itself there on that Psychiatry of the Military, The Hidden Agenda, where they go on to talk about in the bombing of Iraq how the U.S. Air Force was given amphetamines, I guess it is, to build them up during the daytime, and then something else at night to knock them out, so they wouldn't have to think about what they just did. And I spoke briefly about that with David Irving, who's a historian, who wrote about the bombing of Dresden and meeting that British pilot there in a tavern, I guess they call it a pub or whatever. Anyway, who was bragging about the bombing of Dresden there, and Irving happened to have color photos of what actually happened on the ground there, and he said that British pilot there he turned white, nearly fainted, because he finally saw for once what had happened on the ground. But most people don't see that. They're far removed. And our media is the same way. A lot of stuff we get is all filtered out. We don't hear from it. Or we might hear of it, but we don't see the effects of it. I remember when I watched an Al Jazeera video once, it showed a bombing over there from the United States in Iraq. It showed a torso twitching, and it looked like intestines or something like that hanging over what would be like a phone line or something like that. But Americans are, you know, we don't see that. Just like you never see the wounded soldiers from the United States, because that would be detrimental, you know. And I'm thinking about that with today's modern warfare, with all these drones being used and stuff. Most of these guys don't even know what's coming. It might be fun to sit at home and play a video game like Call of Duty or whatever, but when they get on the battlefield, it's something totally different. You think your enemy's 5-15 miles away like that, and shells are coming in from 60 miles away or whatever, or missiles, and you're looking off one direction when a drone hits you in the back, and that's what they're literally doing. They're flying these drones into these foxholes like that, you know. It's like it's horrible, and this could all stop. like I say, I think these politicians should be able to be set up on the internet with their own Call of Duty games, and they can sit there and play with each other and kill each other and leave the rest of the world's children alone. But I actually believe that there's a massive depopulation agenda going on, and this is just one fraction of it, is create the wars. All this stuff is going to be solved politically eventually like that. The wars won't go on for indefinitely. They'd like to, but it'll come to a thing to where the politicians have to talk, and that means all those hundreds of thousands of people that died fighting this thing, allegedly for their freedoms, won't be around to see it, and they won't have any, even their family members won't be a part of it, because if you see, like with, say, Ukraine right now, Zelensky says that they're going to cancel the elections in the wartime, and yet they keep saying this is a democracy. Israel claims it's a democracy. It's bombing its own people over there because the Palestinians actually belong to Israel, basically. Alistair Crook with Judge Not Upon the Judge. I can never get his last name. Anyway, they were discussing that today. But Max Blumenthal, though, if you you know, he's Jewish. But if you hear him talk about what the international laws are, as well as what George, what's his name over there in Britain? God, I can't think of his name now. But anyway, they outline exactly what international law is and what a steward is, you know, the versus the occupier and occupied, and how the occupied have a right to resist. And of course, when you believe that you're chosen and stuff, that you can do whatever you want, but laws get put aside, and that's what bothers me, is because we constantly hear this rules-based order, or the rule of law. George Bush Sr. called it the law of the jungle, where everything the United States does is great, anything anyone else is doing is bad. And you'll note, though, that like in real terrorism, a person that's renamed from a patriot, such as a jihad, you know, jihadist or insurgent, that's someone whose country is being illegally occupied, say by U.S. forces. When they're defending their country, they're called a jihadist or an insurgent. Whereas if you remember Hogan's Heroes and such with the French underground, Hogan and his POWs, where they went around blowing things up, they weren't terrorists, they were heroes. And but of course they were probably terrorists to the German government, who was illegally occupying them. And with that, they went around, you know, blowing up the government that was causing their problems. And so when I see these so-called terrorist attacks, generally a terrorist wouldn't attack someone that had nothing to do with anything. It was totally innocent. They would go after the parties that were involved in causing the problems in their homeland. So Hezbollah's Secretary General Nasrallah there has mentioned here that any assassination of on Lebanese lands, and we see that they're doing that now, that target Lebanese or Syrian or Iranian or a Palestinian, that there will be a strong response. And this morning, Israel, again, I think it was about 2 o'clock this morning, let off the massive barrage. It'd be 2 o'clock our time, but let off the massive barrage of bombing over there in southern Lebanon there. But we constantly see videos where Israel wants to draw the United States in, draw the United States in. And so, and of course, they want the United States to attack Iran. We hear this with Lindsey Graham, wipe its oil refinery stuff off the map. They probably want it, the entire thing wiped off the map there. But, and of course, this is to secure Israel. It has nothing to do with anyone else, just Israel. So anyway, we'll be right back here. This is Keith Rogers here with Authentic News, and stay tuned. Anybody's helping anyway. But now these days are gone, I'm not so self-assured. Now I find a gentleman and open up the doors. Help me. Hello, hello, hello from beautiful Colorado. My name is Samuel Jung Kay, and I am currently the lead Shilajit hunter and master herbalist for Colorado Shilajit Company. In this video series, I will be discussing what we believe is the greatest of all adaptogenic superfoods and the single greatest natural healing remedy gifted to us by Mother Earth.
I think you too will become as excited by this incredible substance called Shilajit as we were and are after our discovery of this amazing gift right here in beautiful, colorful Colorado. You may already know Shilajit by other names: Shilajit, Momio, Momi, Mami, Mineral Pitch, Asphaltum, and others. Shilajit literally translates to destroyer of weakness and conqueror of mountains. Shilajit has been in use for thousands of years and is considered as the highest valued cure-all of any earthly substance.
Look for the gold mountain and medical symbol logo in banners on republicbroadcasting.org to watch the full video and see more information. Use code GORBN when ordering. That's G-O-R-B-N.
I'm so excited to have you as part of the Wild Pastures family, and we look forward to bringing you the pasture-raised meats that you and your family will love. Now, we started Wild Pastures because so many of my clients would tell me they just couldn't find high-quality pasture-raised meats, and even when they did, it was so expensive that they couldn't afford to eat it regularly. Now, I'm not talking about the bottom-of-the-barrel healthy meats that have claims like natural or free-range or even cage-free, terms that were actually created by the industrial food industry to make us feel all warm and fuzzy about buying their low-quality products. I am talking about truly nourishing pasture-raised meats, the kind that you'll never really find in a grocery store. Our farmers are doing things beyond organic. Our beef is 100% grass-fed and grass-finished and raised on pastures free from chemicals and other pesticides. Our chickens are 100% pasture-raised, where they get their natural diet of grass and forage and insects. We will never settle for free-range, which is actually one of the most deceptive terms in the chicken industry. In fact, less than 0.1% of the chicken consumed in the United States is truly pasture-raised in the way that ours is. And our pork is 100% pasture-raised as well. So if you care about where your food comes from, then you have definitely made it to the right place. As a Wild Pastures member, you'll be supporting the most highly principled farmers in America and getting the most nutrient-dense, nourishing, and sustainable meats in the world. I'm confident you'll love being part of our mission at Wild Pastures, and you will really love the delicious, nourishing meats that we're going to deliver straight to your door.
Visit republicbroadcasting.org and click the Wild Pastures banner ad. Secure a shipment today. Beef, poultry, and pork raised the way nature intended.
Picks up the rice in the church where a wedding has been. Lives in a dream, waits at the window, wearing the face that she keeps in a jar by the door. Who is it for?
Welcome back, everyone. It's Keith Rogers here on Authentic News, sitting in for Jim Fetzer, James, the Doc, and stupid phone's ringing. Anyway, hey, I forgot to mention there, you know, all these wars, they do one thing, and they bring immigration. People flee, they're called war refugees, other people call them immigrants and stuff. But I have a video for you. It's the third one down. It's from New York City's Rabbi Joshua Davidson, and I thought it'd be interesting if you heard that. So if the control room could play that, please.
Rabbi Abraham Joshua Heschel, the great social activist who marched with King, once asserted, "We are a people in whom the past endures. Our oppression in Egypt lives within us. Our exile, our expulsion, our isolation, our internment, all inform our Jewish identity and our Jewish commitments. We take that identity and those commitments seriously. We cannot regard the human tragedy unfolding on our borders, the horrific conditions to which migrant families seeking better lives for their children have been subjected, with anything less than moral fury. And now we are informed that Sunday, Immigration and Customs Enforcement will undertake additional efforts in cities around the country, including New York, to pursue the undocumented. Our sacred narratives and historic experiences call upon us to respond, whether by participating in any number of rallies, including one downtown tonight, by volunteering with immigrant justice groups, or by writing members of Congress. Yesterday, I and three other of New York City's senior rabbis, informed by our deep conviction, rooted in Jewish and American values, that we must love our neighbors as ourselves, sent the following to the New York Times. We are outraged by the deportation raids reportedly scheduled to begin in New York City on Sunday. These raids will terrorize our friends, neighbors, and families in the immigrant community, and they risk separating parents and children. Local law enforcement must refuse to participate or assist with these ICE actions. New York City has long welcomed immigrants from around the world. We won't stop now. We are a people in whom the past endures, said Heschel, in whom the present is inconceivable without moments gone by. The exodus lasted a moment enduring forever. What happened once upon a time happens all the time. We won't stop now, not until all those fleeing oppression in their native lands are able to sing as the Israelites once sang on the shores of freedom's sea.
All right. There's an article in Jerusalem Post where it says Jewish activists bring downtown Boston to a standstill over immigrant detention. Now, if you take what Rabbi Davidson there just said and you compare that to what's going on over in Gaza right now, it's a lot of doublespeak, don't you agree? But this is who's behind our immigration policies. That's why if you listen to Secretary Mayorkas there being grilled, good word, he obfuscates everything. He won't answer nothing. He won't talk about the apps that they have that have been specially designed, who designed the apps, all this stuff. And then comes the migrants that are, the children are being used as in sweatshops and stuff like that, 250,000 of them, to which Josh Hawley had said, yeah, there's a $15,000 fine for hiring these guys without permits and stuff like that, you know, and especially the fact that they're children. And yet, there's no enforcement being done. So the country's being destroyed from within. You know, it's not the, say, whether it's George Soros that's behind the immigration, paying immigrants or coyotes or whatever like that to bring these people up in here. There's a reason for that. And that reason is on my Stockwell clip there. It's 226. Yeah, I think I have time. Yeah. If you want to play that one there.
Continued attack, war is what the World Court called it, that we've waged on Nicaragua. Nicaragua has yet to commit one act of war against the United States. But instead of joining them and building the healthiest, most dynamic, most enthusiastic country in Central America, we spent over $1 billion during the 80s to destabilize the country. We set out systematically to create conditions where the farmer could not get his produce to market, where children couldn't go to school, where women were terrified inside their homes as well as outside their homes of being attacked, where the hospitals were treating wounded people instead of sick people, where government administration grinds to a halt, where the trucks don't run, the bridges are blown, the salaries aren't paid, you can't get a driver's license, all the infrastructure breaks down. And, of course, eventually international capital is scared away and the country plunges into chaos and bankruptcy. We created the Contra program beginning in about 1981. There was a Newsweek article following up that there was plenty of documentation on this on November 7 and 8, 1982, that said, here we go again. We've done this before. It's been a mistake before. We're going into Nicaragua. Once again, we're supporting the wrong side, Newsweek noted. It said that we had elected to support the only truly evil, totally unacceptable faction in the Nicaraguan equation, that being the remnants of Somoza's hated National Guard. But using Argentine trainers at first and then eventually CIA mercenaries, we armed and directed this small army from bases mostly in Honduras to attack in Nicaragua and destabilize. Systematically, they were blowing up greenery, sawmills, bridges, government offices, schools, health centers, mines, mining roads, ambushing trucks, raiding farms and villages. We have massive documentation of all this. Terror has been a part of this program. Raw terror, as raw as anything that happens in the Middle East or elsewhere. These Contras have been going into villages. They've been hauling families out. With other members of the family forced to watch, they've been castrating fathers, gang-raping mothers, slashing off their breasts again while the children are forced to watch.
This is all done by CAA, your paid tax dollars. That's what's sad about it. Again, when you destroy the economy, I have one more video coming up about that here after the break here, but destabilize a country, cause the immigration, the governments fail, and of course then the governments have to assume these IMF loans at massive interest and stuff to try to bail out what they can, and they are left with massive poverty, like you see, which is down in Argentina right now. But this is a state policy here. Okay, thank you. Well, with that there, since we're skipping that break there, let's go up to my other video, which is the last one there on Cuba. This is how the U.S. has dealt with Cuba. And this starts out with weather modification, all this. And then it's like Iraq with Madeleine Albright's, you know, comment on the death of 500,000 children being starved to death. This is what causes immigration and stuff as people are thrown into poverty and stuff. So with that, would you please play that video?
Your friendly spy on campus. The excitement initially came when I was offered the job and told that I was very special, and that played to my patriotism, my ego, my manhood, the whole thing. It was 30 years ago, almost this month, that I was a senior on the Iowa State University campus, ready to get my aerospace engineering degree, and wondering what I was going to do in light of the nation's deepening involvement in the quagmire of Vietnam.
There were anti-war demonstrations on college campuses and in cities from Los Angeles to Washington. Draft card burnings became common, and the chant of, "Hell no, we won't go," was the theme of the protest generation.
It was then that the CIA appeared on campus and they began their largest illegal domestic operation in history called Chaos. The FBI and Hoover thought U.S. college student demonstration against the Vietnam War was being manipulated and funded from abroad. President Johnson didn't believe it, so he actually authorized the CIA to start an illegal covert operation inside the country. And I became the eyes and ears of the CIA on the Iowa State University campus.
Iowa State University. The opportunities are here.
I initiated files on students of my own interest, even without the CIA's knowledge. There was this young lady who caught my eye on campus, and I tried to date her, and she refused. So I initiated a file on her, and that was personally for my own benefit. I did that for my senior year, and on graduation, I thought my responsibilities at the agency would end when I went to work for McDonnell Douglas in St. Louis. But it didn't work out that way, and eventually I was assigned to Canada, posing as an anti-Vietnam War engineer. Now, the agency knew that Fidel had gone around the island and built all these small dams. He actually wanted two growing seasons a year. Needed somebody to seed the clouds so it would rain and he could store the water. And that's where my expertise was, having been an amateur rocketeer and an aerospace engineer and all of this good stuff. The Cubans were duped into believing the credentials I presented. There really was no other option of getting an American down there. After the October crisis of 1962, Kennedy said that we would never physically invade the island if Khrushchev would remove the ballistic missiles. So therefore, the United States was frozen into a policy of trying to bring Castro down from within, which meant disrupting the average lifestyle of the Cuban citizen, doing whatever we could to sabotage the economy, to discredit the revolution. One way of doing that, of course, was to try to control the amount of food coming into Havana for distribution to the public.
And if we could do that by puncturing tires on a truck loaded with tomatoes for the market, or if we could cause a truckload of whatever, onions or fresh fruit or meat to become putrid or be stolen or contaminated on the way into town, we would do that. And I remember one particular instance, a brand new secondary school that had opened up in the countryside was going to receive its week's supply of fresh milk. And we bribed the driver of the truck. We knew where he stopped to have breakfast on his route. We wanted him to take a few extra minutes so we could put cement powder into the milk. We declared war on school children. That shouldn't be the policy of the United States government. You don't win friends and influence people that way, declaring war on children and innocent civilians. A big mistake, but the U.S. government orders it and participates in it. And the CIA's goal eventually was to increase this frustration level to a point where there would be a civil revolution within Cuba to bring him down.
All right. You know, most Americans don't know the background of this stuff here. There's a good article there on the New York Times. It was actually printed in 1860. And it talks about how the annexation of Cuba, and basically all it talks about is slave labor, the Negroes, fat Negroes and stuff like that, you know, plantation style living like that. But this is where the commerce of America comes from. Same thing in Latin America, that they all these videos on YouTube called Dangerous Roads, Bolivia, whatever like that, you know. Sure, they highlight the cocaine, the coca leaves, not cocaine, but they highlight the coca leaves, the trials of driving on these muddy roads. And what are they doing, like down through Peru and stuff, is they're strip mining the planet there for these massive corporations, like over multi-corporations, many in Germany, that build these huge RV trailers for these Saudi kings and stuff, and the paneling on it costs $600 a sheet. Well, that's from that old growth timber, and yet the workers are paid like $1,500 a year, U.S. dollars, and that's what causes a lot of this immigration. And of course, you have the CIA running around destabilizing the country, assassinating leaders and stuff, and that kind of gets into a second portion here too, because you know that there was executive orders that the United States could not assassinate anyone. That was done under Reagan, under Ford, all this, you know. And you see this coming true to where the U.S. following its own rule of law, you take out Saddam, Gaddafi, all these other leaders and stuff. And, of course, what it does, it brings massive destabilization to a country. In Libya right now, they're still selling slaves for, I think, $400. And then, of course, where are all these boats and stuff coming from, these immigration boats, Libya and stuff? So a lot of people flee that oppression. I recently read this article there about Israeli arms sales to Rwanda during the genocide over there. And, of course, the court dockets would remain sealed. And whenever you read a document like that or Israeli arms sales to Myanmar of the genocide happening up there, the first thing I do is I always go and look at the demographics of the country, and you find out that most of them are young kids, 18 to 30, something like that. And these people are fleeing for their lives, because when you're young like that, no one wants to die. You know, I know that when you're young, even when I was young, we all think we have immortality. We get into bike wrecks and we go out and do it again like that, you know, but we actually think we have immortality. But as you get older and stuff like that, even a flight of stairs might scare a guy going down like that, because you just don't do the things that you did when you were younger. However, if you're being faced at being shot at every day and stuff like that, it might be best to just get out of the area, especially if you have a family and stuff. But some of these guys don't have a family, and that might be why you see a lot of immigrants that are coming that don't have their families. But it has been known that a lot of these guys that don't have their families with them are the ones that are working these poor crap jobs that are down there in South America and whatever. They might have a family. If they do, it's usually large. And of course, the only way to support him, since you're only making like, and I say, you know, go ahead and look at demographics, look at the wages in those countries, and see why people would come to America, because the U.S. dollar is stronger. And then, of course, when they get here, then everyone gripes, well, they're sending their money back home. Well, that's because the U.S. dollar has more buying power, and so they can support their families and stuff. But this immigration, people are taking advantage of it like that, because now Americans that don't have the work are having their jobs sold out to the immigrants. And, of course, now they want to put the immigrants in the military. I was listening to a video last night where law enforcement, if they pass a backgrounds check like that, they can become a cop. It doesn't say anything about them swearing an oath on the Constitution and knowing constitutional law or any of that stuff like that. But that was both in, I think, Illinois and California. So, again, this is all being done internally. It's not from external, you know. These guys aren't being organized by themselves and stuff, you know. They're being given the incentives to come up here. And like I say, I got to just watch any of those My Orcas videos there being grilled as they discuss the special apps, how they're being brought to the border, and they have special people that come down and they take them to dentists and hospitals, you know, the health care. They're being treated royalty like that. But now they're, of course, they're looking for homes from them. But this is all being done internally. And I think it's nefarious in the point where they're trying to bankrupt the United States. That's basically what it is. And then when the funds run out, then I would say, then you might want to worry. Because when people don't have a way to feed themselves and stuff, and they go ballistic, and of course Americans would be there too, then you'll have your civil war. But this is, I think, what they wanted before, because back in the 80s, during Oliver North, you'll remember the shadow government, Rex 84, which was brought out in the Oliver North trials. That government was driven underground to what we have the call the shadow government or the deep state. They're the ones that are behind all this stuff. So they're manipulating everything. And they want a civil war so they can get out there and they can suspend the Constitution, take the guns and everything like that, and bring in their new world order. That's what they want. So with that, I want to go to, I'd mentioned with Tom yesterday when I was talking on the phone there with him. This is all being coordinated. And I'll start with that first video on the BIS. This is, it's only 24 seconds long, but this is where the COVID deal came in. So if you want to play that first video, please.
This year, next year, vaccine policy is economic policy. And it is even a higher priority than the traditional tools of fiscal and monetary policy. Why? Because without it, we cannot turn the fate of the world economy around.
Okay. So when you drive immigration, you're trying to bring in a new banking system like that. Well, you need a way to scare people. And in lieu of that, I have this thing here about the U.S. military. This is out of CNN Politics. It says only 43 of more than 8,000 discharged from the U.S. military refusing COVID vaccine has rejoined. So, again, they can't get their quotas up on the enlistments. So then you have your senators saying, well, we need to get these guys to fight for America. The whole deal here is that they're building a brand new system. And they're not asking you, this is not a democracy or something like that. But this new system, though, along with this Bank of International Settlements, is what I've found out lately is what they call this biometrics. And this is where it talks about any one of these types of biometric information can allow border security guards to make rapid and precise one-to-one authentication, one-to-many verifications, identity checks in simple forms. A one-to-one check determines whether a person is who he claims he is to be, such as when a signature is compared to a legal document. One-to-one many checks entails identification. And this goes on with the identification, though. What is that? Well, this is this new biometric stuff. It's the physiological characteristics, which includes the fingerprints, the hand geometry, This is where, like, you see the new scanners for stores and stuff, where you just hold your palm scanner up like that. Iris shapes, face, voice, ear shapes, the body odor, behavioral characteristics, AI, all this stuff like that, you know. This is all to be included on that, and that's why, you know, they want Americans screaming, you know, close the border, close the border, and this is how they're going to bring in the system like that, bring in your own enslavement like that. And, of course, it's being done by your government. It's not, it, you know, the immigrants aren't setting this up. It's your government, and this is to bring in their new financial system of total control. And we always hear about, well, look what they're doing in China. Well, it's going to be done here, too. It's all part of the banking system, you know. But again, like, say, a lot of people get so screwed up on, I call it false patriotism like that. But they don't realize there's always something nefarious going on, and the banks are usually the ones that are in total control here. So, by the way, those two clips I played, those are both from former CIA agents. Those are my heroes in life, the real CIA that had to quit their jobs because they could not see or they could not bear the conscience and weight on them about what they were doing for their country, which was actually hurting their country. And they finally stood up and said no. And the first clip was from former CIA John Stockwell that ran the Angolan mission over there. And a lot of paramilitary got killed over there, to which Henry Kissinger says, well, we don't deal with terrorists. But, you know, so, and this is where people in California, the parents, found out that their kids were fighting over Angola in a covert war, knew nothing about it until they finally got a thing that says your son is on trial for whatever, like that, you know, and of course he was executed. So, anyway. Again, we're back on the same thing here about all this stuff that's going on in the world, the targeted executions. We see them in Russia, that we know that whether it's the SBU over in Ukraine or some CIA fractions or something like that, they're all out there. They're trying to take out political leaders and stuff. And if you recall, this is just how World War I started with Archduke Ferdinand like that. So I'm just waiting for the Archduke Ferdinand moment to which is going to set the light to the gasoline like that, you know, because they want a war. And that's the only thing that makes this country prosper is a massive production of just like it was in World War II after the Marshall Plan. After everything was bombed over in Europe, the United States, through the Marshall Plan, started supplying Europe with everything, and its industry, all they had to do here was retool because the United States had never been attacked. And that includes in Pearl Harbor. Remember, it wasn't a state until 1950. So, but anyway, they just simply retooled, and that's why we had the booming years, what we call for us our boomers, where we can sit back and think of the nice cush jobs we had, the 40 hours a week, paid health care, overtime, union job stuff. Of course, then after that, they started getting rid of the unions. They started offshoring our jobs over to China, Mexico, and other, so we can get T-shirts or whatever made in Malaysia. And then, of course, we have the other crap of the $1 billion a year market in used clothing that's sent over to Africa and stuff that's got the LGB pride T-shirts and stuff. Where, so you see all these blacks and stuff like that run around with those westernized logos across their chest of Nike and stuff, and it's supposed to westernize these guys to get them into this stuff like that. And of course, but then you got to realize what the Kissinger's NSSM 200 was, and this is what they called the lower developed countries there, where the United States was going to need this vast resource of minerals and stuff like that. And the only way to do that is just basically clear the land, get the people off it like that. They won't be around to have their tribal warfare to fight you and resist you like that. So just get them out of there. Well, move them to your country. So, and then, of course, the corporation's in charge of fortune for it. But anyway, the list of this assassination stuff goes on and on and on. And this is all in violation of U.S. Their own executive orders. So I just can't see how some people get so mad at other countries when they should actually rightfully be pointing back at America. And I even had a friend that used to work on the fire department with me here that, well, you think everything's in the wrong in the world is caused by America. Well, it's caused by the corporate side of it. Just like I have a webpage up on that Ukraine stuff. It talks about everything that's underneath Ukraine, all the commerce, resources, and a lot of it's over in the eastern Donbass area. And, of course, now that Ukraine will be landlocked with Crimea and Donbass out of the way, like, you know, I mean, this is what it is. And Monsanto, BlackRock, all these firms want to go in there and start sucking this land up, privatizing it. Ukraine's going to be left with a massive debt to the IMF bank. They're talking about canceling pensions and stuff. And what is America going to pay for that? Is all these illegals that will soon be citizens, I guess, will taxes rise to help pay for Ukraine and stuff? Why is this country always paying for the affairs of other people? Just like down in Honduras and Colombia, they receive some of the most humanitarian aid from the U.S., and yet it's the worst in humanitarian crises down there. We'll be right back.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we the people are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around, and be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
People often write to tell us what has happened for them since starting Extendivite. Allow me to read a few. After taking Extendivite for about 6 months, I've noticed improvement on the numbness of my hands and wrists from the carpal tunnel syndrome. I will continue to buy product. This formula is very powerful. I am feeling much better. My heart rate and blood pressure is stabilized, my lower edema has reduced, and lower leg pain due to blood clots has disappeared. This product has relieved what appears to be an angina problem, pain in the chest after climbing stairs and short on breath. I'm quite happy about it. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Help, I need somebody. Help, not just anybody.
Help,
you know I need someone.
Younger, so much younger than today.
I never needed
anybody's help in any way.
Now welcome back, everyone. This is Keith Rogers with Authentic News, sitting in for Jim Fetzer. You know, a lot of people don't realize, again, too, it's like if you can use someone else that's outside the United States to do your dirty work, then that's how it's done. Israel is referred to as a flat-top carrier for the United States. If you're familiar with the Boland Amendment, the U.S. could never get Congress to approve arms sales and stuff down through, you know, Latin America and stuff since the Contras, like that, you know, well, which was formed during the Contras like that. So the CIA and those would run their covert wars. But all you got to do is type in U.S. sells arms to. And with these smart browsers nowadays, it will give you a list of the countries the United States sells arms to. It's the same thing if you do Israeli arms sales. And just as a reference, since Israel is the flat-top carrier, you know, United States sends $3 billion a year to Israel. Israel brings up builds up its armament business. These are headlines. Israel signs arms deal transfer agreement worth $12.9 billion, ranking it eighth among the world's biggest arms suppliers. Sales of U.S. arms fuels the wars in Arab states. Israeli lawyer demands Israel halt arms sales to Honduras. Israeli arms industry great leap in Central America. Israel's badly kept secret, selling arms to regimes at war. Another article, Israel's Latin American terror of trail. And here is where one of these drug lords says, I learned an infinite amount of things in Israel. And to that country, I owe part of my existence, my human and military achievements, said this Colombian paramilitary leader and indicted drug trafficker, Carlos Costo. Is that Costo? Yeah. And his ghost-written autobiography, Mi Confession. But again, they offshore all this stuff so you don't see it happen. And that way you can turn around and blame the other people from what's really going on. This is its colonialism. And as long as you're pointing your finger at someone else, you're not pointing at what's going here, you know. I see these big arms conventions all the time where you go in there to Raytheon and stuff. You see all these brand new missiles, and you hear that Russia's over in Syria testing out its brand new weapons, and the United States is in Iraq testing out its brand new, you know. Well, it's a kill machine. That's all it is. And then you think of Korea, Vietnam, the Contras, South America, Middle East, Africa. Well, it's an arms industry. They don't care how many people they kill. It just keeps the system going like that. But, you know, there's people that have children out there and themselves, and they just want to live alone. Or not live alone, but they want a life. They just want to probably have a house, a garden, raise kids, stuff like that, have a dog, whatever like that, maybe a cat, you know. But their entire lives are put on hold because of what goes on in the world like that. But a lot of it originates from your own country. And again, now that America's aged population, the boomers and such, are getting up there, they've stolen a lot of the Social Security and everything, the pensions, and, you know. Well, now you need a bunch of new fresh blood coming in the country. There's an article called Depopulation Bomb. It's actually a video on YouTube, Depopulation Bomb. It actually says America's population is shrinking. So that's why your immigrants are coming in. We'll be right back, top of the hour.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email ProudSouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
You're
listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.